Good morning. Happy 4th of July. We're here at 1180 WFYL here in the Philly area. A happy 4th of July to you again. Your Family Matters with Carla Dedesi. We have Rick Green with us from Wall Builders. Hello, how are you?
Hey, Carla, great to be with you. Happy 4th of July.
Thank you. Thank you. I can't wait to see all the fireworks and the red, white, and blue. I match all of my children every year. I know that you're a daddy of four. Did your wife do that? Did she match everyone in red, white, and blue?
Well, not quite, but we do have a new history reality show coming out called Red, White, Blue, and Green. So we're somewhat there with you. So
really? Is Wall Builders doing that?
Oh, they're teaming up with us. Yeah, we certainly did a couple of episodes already at their library to show our documents and show where we bring the history to life. But it's just a chance for people to visit great historical sites and bring that history to life through the eyes of our children. Most people don't get a chance to come to Philly where you are and see all the incredible history there at the Cradle of Liberty and visit Independence Hall and those kind of places. So we just want to take them out there and let them know how important it is to know where we came from as a nation, to know what the foundations are. I think we forget how blessed we are. We're kind of spoiled, to be honest with you, and our generation had the chance to enjoy freedom without ever really having to pay the price. So we like to remind people of the price of our freedom and where we came from, and that the children have to know this from an early age. We've kind of bought this idea that if you're born in America, you automatically understand freedom, and that's absolutely not true. A kid born right there in your hometown of Philly or in my hometown of Austin, Texas, will make you just as good a communist as one born in Beijing or Moscow. Completely depends upon what they are taught as a child, upon what they see in their lives, the role of government that they see, all those things. So we have to be conscious about this. It's got to be done on purpose. The torch of freedom is not a self-sustaining flame. We have to purposely instill it in the hearts and minds of each generation. And that's what we do at Wall Builders. That's what our family does as we travel around the nation. Our kids actually get up on stage and teach out of the Declaration of Independence and try to get people to be thankful for what they have, but also to take up that torch and be willing to fight for it.
Wonderful. You're raising up patriots. You have your doctorate in jurisprudence from University of Texas School of Law.
Yeah, just a fancy way of saying I'm a lawyer. Don't hold that against me now.
It's very fancy schmancy, and we will not hold it against you. Listen, I'll be honest. There's few lawyers that I like, but I'll tell you, the ones that I adore are awesome, and you're definitely one of them.
Well, thank you very much.
You serve as president of the Torch of Freedom Foundation.
We do. Torch of Freedom Foundation is a great organization. We do Patriot Academy, so that's a week where we bring young people into state capitals around the nation and 16 to 25 years old, give them a chance to live the life of a legislator, but at the same time, again, we bring that history to life. We teach them the value of our freedom. We teach them the constitutional foundations of our nation, the biblical foundations of our nation, and show them just why America became the most successful nation in history, that it's not by accident. There is a very specific formula that produced these amazing results, and the more we try to run from that formula, the more we radically transform that formula, the less likely our children will enjoy that same freedom. So Patriot Academy helps to teach them the formula and teach them how to effectively fight for that formula. Not just to pound the bully pulpit and say this is right, but to learn how to be effective leaders of integrity and go out into business and politics and make movies and journalism and whatever God's called them to do, but to do it effectively with a purpose of saving our constitutional republic.
That's right. And I think that for many years, that's been an area that a lot of Christians had shied away from. We've actually run in the opposite direction. And I believe that our country's been hurt because we have abdicated the role in politics, the role of being a lawyer, the role of owning the newspaper or the media. And I think we're getting back into that. I want to go back to Patriot Academy. Do you come to the state of Pennsylvania and do your Patriot Academy, or must we go to you?
We're close. We're coming to Delaware this year. It'll be our first time on the East Coast, kind of our beachhead on the East Coast there. And so we'll be at the state capitol in Delaware. Our website, patriotacademy.com, has all of our locations and the dates that will be there. But in the future, we would love to come to Pennsylvania. There is a great program there put on called City on a Hill. And they do a fantastic job in their program. Their target's a little bit younger in terms of the students that they bring in. It's a little bit different program, but somewhat in the same arena. So there's one you could do this year, and then hopefully in the future we'll be there. But would love for students from Pennsylvania to come. In fact, we have some students from Pennsylvania coming down to Delaware for the Patriot Academy there in August.
You know, I did Teen Pact with my children
a month ago. Oh, yes. I used to be on their board. I love Teen Pact. When I was a legislator, I was on their volunteer board, and they do it. And same thing, kind of a younger crowd. And then we love to get students from Teen Pact that have gone through that to then graduate into Patriot Academy.
I was so impressed with their students. I have three little girls, and I said to my husband when we got home, I said, now, those are the kind of men that I'd like my girls to marry one day.
Right.
This is how I think as a mommy. I'm sure your wife thinks the same way.
That's right. So, believe me, we started Patriot Academy, honestly, to find spouses for our four children. That was the real goal. not really, but it's a great side benefit, let me tell you.
Listen, I'm unabashed. I always have my feelers out, you know, for godly men, for my women that I'm, for my little girls that I'm pouring into. So let's talk about 4th of July, our fabulous and great country. 4th of July, what are we honoring? What are we remembering?
You know,
I want you to share also, because you are an expert in this. I know that a lot of people compare our revolution to the French Revolution. Why is it so different?
It couldn't be more different.
That's
something George Washington observed in his farewell address, because he was actually watching that French Revolution take place, and he knew that they wanted what we had, but they changed something in our formula, and it dramatically changed the results. And he pointed out that in our formula, of all the habits and dispositions which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. He said you cannot have the kind of liberty that we enjoy in America if you remove that morality which comes from religion. If you remove those things from our society, you're going to lose the liberty. And so he really gave us a stern warning as he was leaving the national stage to never let that part of our formula change. Unfortunately, we've dramatically changed that over the last 40 years, and it's had a very negative result. But 4th of July is a great opportunity to be reminded of that, because the formula is right there in the Declaration. I mean, that's what the 4th of July is all about. It's celebrating our Declaration of Independence, celebrating the fact that we're still under this incredible system of freedom. It's been a world record. No one's ever been able to enjoy this kind of freedom for this amount of time. And when you go back to that formula, it's right there in the heart of the Declaration. When those guys gathered to sign the Declaration of Independence, which, unfortunately, I got to mess up everybody's history today. It wasn't 4th of July. Okay, so the 4th of July, we did have, you know, two signatures on the Declaration that day. It was Charles Thompson, the Secretary, and John Hancock, the President of Congress. But everybody else came in about a month later. It was August 2nd when they gathered back in Independence Hall, right down the road from where you are right now. And when they signed that Declaration, they were literally pledging, not just pledging their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor. They would end up giving that. Most of them made tremendous sacrifices to put their name on that document. And it was one thing to vote for it a month earlier. It was another thing to actually sign it, because now it's going to go over to King George, and he's immediately going to put a bounty on your head. So that took a lot of courage for those men to get up and come forward and sign that document. But when they did, they were not just signing to go to war. They were signing to say, these are the values that we are willing to stand for. These are the things we are willing to pledge our lives, fortunes, and sacred honor. These are the things we're willing to die for. And if you go up to the top of the page, you find out what those values were. Now, a big part of the Declaration was saying what the king had done wrong to break the agreement with the Americans, why this was a just war, why they had a right to declare their independence. But if you go up to the second paragraph, it lays out the values, the formula, the secret sauce of America's success. They very simply said in 56 words, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Now, that's a mouthful, but it's something every kid in school ought to learn. It's something every American ought to understand. Those words are why we started, I passed a bill back when I was in the legislature here in Texas called Celebrate Freedom Week, so that every kid in Texas now studies those 56 words every single year, kindergarten through 12th grade. We've passed it in several other states. We're trying to get it done across the country, because if every kid understands the four principles out of those 56 words, we can restore our constitutional republic. But right at the top is what you just mentioned a while ago, the fact that we have truths. That's moral absolutes. That's not moral relativism.
Right.
That's not anything goes, everything's okay. Hey, you do whatever feels good to you, I'll do it. That is not what the founders stood for. They believe in moral absolutes and truths, and they believe that those truths and our freedoms came from God, that we're endowed by our Creator. And if you take God out of the equation of America's freedom, you completely change the equation and you get the French Revolution. The only difference between what the French tried to do and what we did was that one thing. They wanted liberty, but they wanted it without God. They wanted no religion, no God. And what did it lead to? The guillotine, total chaos, destruction. What did our formula lead to when we kept God in the equation, when we kept those parameters, when we said we have freedom, but it's freedom from God and therefore must be exercised with respect for the authority of God. Therefore, all of these rights come with responsibilities. When we did that, the greatest success in the history of the world for a nation and for freedom took place, and we've been able to experience that now for several hundred years. But I'm sorry to say, we're at risk of losing it. We're watching that formula be changed. We're watching those freedoms be eroded. And the only way we're going to save them is if we go back in time and celebrate on July 4th in a way that causes us to teach our children and teach ourselves what this formula is really all about. If we do that, we can bring it back to life. The formula works. The system works. We have everything we need at our fingertips to restore our constitutional republic and secure these freedoms for our children and our grandchildren if we'll just work the formula. If we'll just do what the Constitution and the Declaration give us the freedom to do, this system could be saved for our kids.
Absolutely. I feel like I want to stand up and applaud, you know. I want a standing O. You know, and I think also that we understand, as our founding fathers did, that our liberties come from our Creator. They come from our God, our Judeo-Christian principles, as opposed to the French Revolution. Really, they were replacing the monarchy with another government. I don't think they understood that our liberties do not come from the government. Okay? They don't give me, I don't need anything from the government. Everything that I have comes from my God who created me.
You know, Ronald Reagan used to point out that the major difference between the Russian Constitution and the American Constitution was not freedom of speech, freedom of religion, all these things that we think of immediately. They had those. They had those in their Constitution. But the difference was that in their Constitution, they came from government, and in our Constitution, they came from God. And if you go with their system, then government, then if they're the source of your freedom, they can tweak it. They can limit it. They can begin to use government to take away those freedoms, which is exactly what happened to the Soviet Union. Whereas in our case, if these freedoms come from God, not government, then government can't take them away. When I quoted the Declaration a while ago, the last part that I quoted said that the only just powers of government come from the consent of the governed. It said that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. That means the very purpose of government is not to give us rights, but to secure the rights that God gave us. And if you lose the God part, now government's the source, or your neighbor's the source, and if they're the ones that give you your freedom, they can take your freedom away.
Correct. And also, we talked about truths and moral absolutes. They come from God. I get fearful when I see the government who does not have absolutes, and things do change from day to day.
And the problem we've got in our culture over the last 40 years, and you mentioned it earlier, Christians and the church have kind of run from this arena. We sort of bought this idea that politics is nasty. It's not, you know, it's a dirty business. And so therefore, if you want to be good and holy and you want to really follow God, you can't go into that arena. And we forget that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's all His. So government is just a reflection of whoever's in government. I mean, if we're gonna follow the Bible and we're told, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's. Well, who's Caesar in America? We are.
And that's correct. And also, Rick, I think that we forget that who created government? God created government. He created society. He created our laws. Why our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence is so wonderful and why it works is because it actually comes from our Ten Commandments. We understand that we have this internal law that comes from our God. You know, we didn't need a lot of laws initially because every man had their own internal law set up. The government comes in and says, no, we're going to add on to this. I mean, how many laws do we have, frivolous laws do we have now today?
And it's the result of losing that morality and religion because, you know, I forget his name. It was Robert Winthrop, a former Speaker of the House. He said that you're either going to be ruled by the Bible or the bayonet. And what he meant was, if you take religion and morality out of the culture and you no longer teach people what's right and teach them how to live in a way that it's not that it's restrained. It's not, oh, I'm going to keep you from doing what you want. It's that I'm going to save you from pain. I'm going to teach you the right way to live. And if you live this way, you will have less negative consequences in your life. You'll be able to police yourself and govern yourself. And then government doesn't have to come in and manage you. What we've done is we've tried to get all of that out of the culture. The church has said, oh, we don't have the right to tell anybody what's right or wrong, and we don't want to influence business or politics. Let's just stay in the four walls of our church. And so now all these areas of our culture are without that morality. They're without that religion, that buffer that's teaching right and wrong. And the result is government has had to come in and micromanage those arenas. Why do you have so much corruption in business and in Wall Street? Because we're no longer self-governing because
Correct.
Of the morality we used to have. So everybody clamors for government to come in and manage. And then we lose our free enterprise system. And then
Correct.
Our economy tanks. I mean, you can look at any area of the culture, and if you get morality and religion out, then government has to step in and fill that void, and that's the last thing we want.
And, you know, so many people say to me, Rick, Carla, you know, Christians shouldn't be involved with politics or government, as we were just saying, and I will point them to John the Baptist, who was always going up against Herod and saying, listen, what you're doing is wrong. Now, he got his head chopped off for it, and then we can also take a look at Elijah in the Old Testament. He was always going up before Queen Jezebel and Ahab. Where did we get this fallacy that we're not supposed to be, Christians are not supposed to be speaking out against evil?
You know, if you look at the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews, you're going to find politician after politician.
Yes.
People that were involved
yes.
in politics. They were either leaders in government, or they were, like you're saying, those from the culture criticizing those in government and trying to correct the course. And we used to be that way. In fact, next week we'll be in I'll be doing one of these Patriot Academies. And at every Patriot Academy, when we're in a state legislature, when we're in that Capitol on the House floor, the first thing we do in our swearing-in ceremony is the same thing that used to happen in state capitals across America for the first 200 years of our history. A pastor would come in and give a quote-unquote election sermon where they would say, okay, before you guys make laws, so in other words, you got all your new state reps, the senators, and the governor, and everybody sitting there in the House chamber, and a pastor would come in and say, okay, before you make law, we want to go to the chief lawgiver, and we want to look at what he's told us to do if we want to have a happy and joyful life, if we want to have the blessings of liberty. And so we're going to do, we always do that same thing at Patriot Academy, and because we kept the perspective that the Bible and religion is not a negative for government, it's a positive, it helps to influence it, it's part of the principles. And what happened was we allowed certain historians to lie about where we came from
yes.
and begin to teach in our schools and in our textbooks that our founding fathers were all a bunch of atheists and agnostics and deists. These guys didn't believe in God, or they hated religion, and all these lies that we bought into. And fortunately, guys like David Barton went back to the original history and stopped buying the lie from these historians and went and got the original documents and from the original letters of the founders, the debates of the Constitutional Convention, the folks that kept journals of the Declaration, all these things, went back to this original history and said, wait a minute, these guys, when you study them, they were all outspoken men of faith.
Yes.
I mean, you did not have, I mean, even the least religious, the people that these
Thomas
I don't
Jefferson.
Even call them real historians, yeah, the people they point to, Jefferson and Franklin and Paine, those three who were probably the least religious, even those three believed in how important it was. I mean, Franklin was adamant, even as a non-Christian, adamant about the fact that you could not get a constitution, a successful constitution, without God in the equation. He chastised the
That's
other
right.
members at the Constitutional Convention because we had not come together and prayed about what we were doing 5 weeks into the convention. We're fighting so much, everybody's going home.
That's
and it's
right.
the least religious of the founders, and he's calling these guys together and saying, we got to pray, we got to get God in this equation. But that's just those three. You look at everybody else, and they were outspoken Christians, men of faith that absolutely had their faith, not just in their heart, but in their head. They
yes.
reasoned with that faith, and they used it to make good laws and create good documents and to govern their states and to govern the nation. And, man, the fact that we've walked away from that is at the very heart of why we have so many problems in our culture, because we bought this lie, this separation of church and state lie, that says that you leave your faith at home and you don't let your faith influence your decisions. Or if you're a Christian and you're a person of faith, you don't vote, you don't go influence the... Oh, that has just destroyed our nation. Pastors have got to stand up. They've got to go learn their history. Be like Josiah. Go back and look at the scrolls. Go
yes.
back and look at the history of our nation and study the founders. And these pastors will get on fire with the fact that we came from a group of men and women that understood the importance of God being in our equation, that kept God in the equation of our freedom, and that we need to restore it. And if the pastors will speak with that from the pulpit,
yes.
the people will get educated on it and will vote that way. And then we'll get good leaders back into our halls of Congress and the halls of our legislatures that will again bring that faith into our culture and bring the truth of our Constitution, our Declaration to life. And hey, there's no better time to start than right now, today, July 4th.
Absolutely.
This is a great time to remind your own family of these things.
Absolutely. And my prayer is that in the next 5 to 10 years, we are creating a whole generation of new leaders that understand that God wants to be a part, he must be a part of the government if we want to continue enjoying the freedoms and the blessings that we have. And Rick, you know, I've taken my little girls to our Harrisburg Capitol, which is absolutely gorgeous. And there are over 250 Bible verses plaguing all over our Capitol building. And we have gone through and we've prayed over our judicial branch and over the House and over the Senate. And I don't know how we can deny that our founding fathers did not come from a Judeo-Christian background. If you go to Washington, D.C., if you, like you said, you're collecting all of these journals and all these historical documents, they are salt and peppered with Bible verses.
Oh, it's a good thing they're etched in stone. You know, I mean,
right.
you go to these memorials, and I mean,
yes.
even Jefferson's memorial. You stand
yes.
in Jefferson's
I've
memorial.
I've been there.
And
Monticello.
Right there around the, yeah, it says. I mean, right there around the top at his memorial in D.C., it says, "I have sworn on the altar of God Almighty, eternal hostility against all forms of tyranny
yes.
over the mind of man." So, I mean, there's no question these guys had a faith element in what they were doing. I mean, yeah, I understand, and I know people love the debate. I mean, Jefferson was kind of a strange bird, and they were different. You know, times in his life when he believed different things, but at one point he was an Orthodox Christian. Late in
yes.
life, he rejected some of that, but, you know, you can't take a quote
Rick.
Out of context from one founding father
Correct.
And try to say that is our founding. You have to look at the totality of it. There's no question. And I want to encourage you. You mentioned you hope you're praying for a generation. Let me tell you, I get the privilege of working with these young people through Patriot Academy, and I'm telling you, there is a generation that God is raising up that
yes.
is passionate. They're articulate. They get it. They understand what's at stake. They've got a purpose. They're ready to go out and lead, and they're getting prepared to be good, strong leaders. My kids and I, we're all reading through Judges right now. We're seeing where, you know, the children of Israel would just be off living in sin and
yes.
worshiping all these other idols and just messing up big time. And all of a sudden, you know, God would raise up one good leader that would stand up and speak truth and fight hard and
yes.
stand firm and turn the whole nation around, and they'd get 20 years or 40 years or 60 years of peace. And then, of course, they'd mess up again and go, you know. I mean, that's just the nature of man. Well, let's raise up some leaders that
yes.
will bring our nation back to that foundation, and we'll enjoy peace and prosperity.
Yes. You know, we read the Declaration of Independence every year on the 4th of July, and I have tons of nieces and nephews and my three little girls, and I am amazed every 4th of July at how well written that document is, because another fallacy is that they were a bunch of farmers. They were stupid people that were writing this. And that could not be further from the truth. You know, there are words on there that I still need to look up. How eloquent the writing is. And, you know, again, this is going to be another phone call that you'll need to do, but talking about the evils of Common Core and how they want to annihilate, our education system in this country. But when I read something like the Declaration of Independence, and so again, I encourage every family this 4th of July to read the whole entire Declaration of Independence. And I think we have a book from Wall Builders that actually tells us a little bit about all of the signers. What interesting biographies they have.
Yeah,
right?
Great. Yeah, it's just a couple of
awesome.
Pages on each person, and tells all their background, tells the stories of what was happening
yes.
behind the scenes for the signing of the Declaration, all this cool stuff.
Such
and
servants. They were such servants
yes.
for us.
And Jefferson was only, I mean, you're talking about the eloquence of the Declaration, 33 years old when he wrote that.
Yes.
Thing. 33 years old. There were, I mean, I just love the fact that there were young people involved. I mean, you had a signer of the Constitution that was 26.
I mean, at 26, he wouldn't even be off of his mom and dad's insurance now in 2014.
Right. He'd still be at home playing Xbox.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Wasting time. Well, listen, thank you so much for joining us. It
Absolutely.
Was an absolute pleasure. I pray for blessings, enormous showers of blessings on your ministry.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having us. Thanks for getting the word out there. Thanks for being willing to bring this stuff to life. I mean, that's what we need, is people like you in every community across the country. And if we'll just get the information in the hands of the patriots out there that know in their gut something's not right, they know that something, the nation's not headed in the right direction, if that's you, then begin to study. Just start going back and reading the original
yes.
sources. Go to wallbuilders.com, get some of those things. David and I just did a program called Constitution Alive, where I came out to Independence Hall, and right there in the room where the Constitution was framed,
wow.
I teach the Constitution. We walk through every article, every amendment, and then David and I go back to the library at Wall Builders, and we get all the documents out, and we bring those things to life and give you that original intent. check that out at wallbuilders.com.
But Wallbuilders.
Everybody can get the tools. They're available. You just go on the internet
That's
and
right.
start looking. You got to get trusted sources, but the good stuff's out there. And if you'll just start bringing it to life for your kiddos and teach them these things, we can win this thing. The system works.
Yes.
We got to go work it.
I have to share something with you right before you leave us, but I was looking for something to educate my three little girls when they were in their grammar years. I still have one in their grammar years. And I didn't find anything that instructed my girls on why we vote with Judeo-Christian principles. So you have to look up my book, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely.
Oh, excellent.
Which, yeah, and I just recently launched a second book, Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. But it's training seeds in our kids' hearts at 4, 5, 6, 7, reading these books over and over to them that this is how we should be voting if we proclaim Jesus Christ. This is how we should be marrying. So I'd love for that to
great.
Be a resource to you as well.
I would love to get that and get it in the hands of as many people as I can.
I have to mail that to you.
I firmly believe you got to start them that young. I mean,
yes.
You know, for some reason we think, oh, they're not ready to learn until they're 15. Like, no,
it's
man.
Too late. It's too late.
Yep, you're right.
So thank you so much. God bless.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.